Today we talk Corinne Gaines, Zimmerman punch, Ferrari F-ups, Olympic highlights, Instagram is tripping, Suicide Squad, and more on today's Headlines with Headliners.
Hey.
Oh yeah, there it is.
That always makes my shoulders move.
Man, that's a slapper.
Okay, all right.
Are you finally?
I tried. I'm trying to get into this song, but it just reminds me of us. Like it does.
It reminds you of what?
Of us. It just reminds me of us. It's the only time I've ever actually heard this song was with us.
Well, you gotta broaden your horizons. First of all, listen. Let me introduce you to us. This is Teron Von Gosry.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only.
Tell them where you're from.
Well, everyone knows at this point I have a hat with my name on it. Like, it'd be hard. You have to go out of your way not to know my name. Yeah. And I feel like everyone should have a hat with their name on it.
I've tried.
Because that way we know who people are. Because you don't know. Like, Nate Jackson has a car with his name on it. Now, that's real.
Yeah.
See, guys would want that, but women, I'm already, hey, Shody, I don't need them to know my name and go look me up. Yeah, Kenesha, we got her.
Like, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Kenesha Bass.
Outstanding. Like, and I am Nate Jackson from season 8 of Wildin' Out on MTV.
Shameless plug. You know, at the Laugh Factory show I do every Monday and Thursday at 10, we were just talking about that, how you're on Wildin' Out season 8.
That's dope. On my way over, I was listening to Sirius Satellite. Somebody was on there.
Oh, me.
Oh, wow.
Shay 45.
That's when you were listening. Crazy.
Oh yeah, on Sirius.
All of these shameless plugs. How you guys been?
What do you mean? We just saw each other yesterday.
Yeah,
like
we
yesterday
did.
We came. Okay, let's be we're real.
Yes.
First of all, Nate doesn't like the fact that I was swallowing hard.
Oh, we're gonna go back to that.
No, we are. We're gonna discuss that because you have a pet peeve that we just found out about.
It wasn't no hard swallows. Man literally ate a bag of hot nuts. Okay? No pun intended. It was a bag of spicy peanuts.
Yes, it was.
That he chewed.
And they were delicious.
He got peanut shrapnel and fragments all around his gum line and in his and then he was trying to get it out without any assistance of a
fluids.
Beverage. Yeah. And we have on headphones, so all I hear is just...
Sound like a young camel?
Yeah. Sound like
Whoa. Now, why do we have to make it racially motivated? Why do you have to come...
Okay, well, it's a lot of animals
at you. Calm down. Alibaba
and the 40 thieves. You see what I mean?
You can make him get his carpet and dry it out.
You see what I deal with here? Do you guys see what I deal with here? But it's interesting because everyone does have a different pet peeve. Actually, you just did one of mine yesterday when you tore that paper out of the notebook.
Really? I wonder why you said that.
That is one of my pet peeves.
Really?
I just like, you know, those proliferated papers. Like, they stay in the notebook. Why get the notebook if you're just going to tear it out? Use a regular sheet of paper. Mm.
What about those dotted lines they give you to rip along?
Yeah, I don't prescribe to that. That's not...
Because, like, I have... This is the thing. When I buy a notebook, that whole notebook is for something.
Yes.
So if there's something in there that's not for that topic or the cat, then it's got to come out.
See, I don't even. I
it's
use
a joke
different
book.
Notebook.
I shouldn't be writing down directions.
I use a different notebook for that. I will not. Mm. Like I'll just. I have a stack of different notebooks because I write.
I just want you to rip a page out right now.
I'm gonna rip one out.
You know what I feel like doing right now?
Do
I feel like swallowing really like real hard on. Like pause, but I'm
gonna give you a note every day.
This is what I'm gonna rip
what's
out.
Your pet peeve?
No. Watch.
Oh man.
It's like tearing 20s.
And then it says, chew quieter.
Oh, my God. Such a hater.
That's right. It's a joke within a joke.
I'm not going to expose myself to you, too. I'm not going to tell you what it is so that it can be used against me
later.
This
isn't kryptonite. This is just...
It is for me. Mine's is kryptonite.
Kenesha's doesn't like people who rub their hands together.
Oh, don't say it. Oh, God. No,
no,
like,
no, no, don't,
no, no,
don't
no,
do
no,
it.
No. Like,
really
it really it hurts the inside of my brain. Like,
rubs hands together?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So how do you wash your hands?
First of all, I have a phobia of soap and water, so I do it really quick. But you
have a soap and water phobia?
Yeah, my
shower
is
really
fast.
That must be the dirtiest...
Excuse me. I'm clean, but it's just I don't...
If you don't use soap and or water...
No, I use them combined, but it's quickly. Like, I dread it. So that's why, like, I can't stick my hand in dishwater. I will have a full-fledged heart
attack. Can we have a conversation about that?
Yeah, she's...
We do have some topics.
I think her phobias are based on things she doesn't like doing. Dishes.
No, I wash one dish at a time with that thing.
Taking showers, though?
Well, she's never been funky, so clearly she's on top of something.
You can come smell. I got something else you can smell, too.
Oh, okay, let's get to those headlines,
She's talking
people.
About her
lips.
Which lips?
That didn't fix anything.
Okay, we go to the headlines.
Story number one.
This is what happens when you get a bunch of headlining comedians in one room. Shameless plug.
You're not lying. This is story number one, and we're going to go from jokes to seriousness. But we have the now infamous story of Corinne Gaines. It's gone worldwide with attention after she posted this video on the web before the Baltimore police and SWAT stormed her apartment, killing her and shooting her five-year-old son. So for the first time, we actually have footage before. Here it is. This is sad.
Hmm? What's happening right now? Who's outside?
The police.
And what are they trying to do? It's charging. What are they trying to do?
They trying to kill us.
I'm sorry, dear. I can hear you say no.
It's good. Do you want to go out there?
No.
Oh. Okay. What do you want to do? No wrong answer. What do you want to do?
This is hard for us to watch.
Yeah, this is a pretty tough one.
This is tough.
That's the policeman right there. SWAT. Just standing there with his gun out.
And they did have her stuff deactivated during all this.
Her Facebook. They had it deactivated.
Beforehand?
She was able to get this.
What'd you say?
While she was streaming, they were like, hey, we need to get this stuff shut down before we go in there.
The feds did?
Yeah.
Well, it's the police. It's not federal.
But look at the police officer standing in her house.
I just want you guys to know over some traffic violations.
Traffic violations and a missed court date is what they were serving the warrant for. And her boyfriend, who had fled the apartment with a one-year-old, they said fled, even though they caught him without incident, was actually served a warrant for domestic violence abuse against Corinne Gaines. So it's a very interesting, touchy subject, especially given the locale. It's in Baltimore.
Right.
And if we remember what happened in Baltimore, Baltimore was last year the focal point of the riots over
Freddie Gray, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who none of the officers were convicted. They were never convicted. They were all charged, but not convicted. And the prosecuting attorney said that there is a definite cover-up in the police over that situation. And now we have less within the same span of time, within weeks of each other, all correlating at the same time, we have this incident with Corinne Gaines. Now, I do want people to know that she was holding a gun at the time of the incident. She was holding a gun. She had threatened to shoot police. However, after reading Sean King, who is a civil rights movement leader, a millennial civil rights leader.
He's also a reporter.
He is.
Yes.
After reading Sean King's objections to what happened, I realized a lot of points that I hadn't necessarily thought of beforehand. Number one, they were there to serve a warrant. Why send a SWAT?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Simple warrant. Number two, the concept is she was holding her son hostage, and so that's why they even surrounded her. Well, then, if that's the case, who are they trying to keep safe? The son got shot, and now we're definitive that it was the police that shot the son.
Right.
So the point is, if we're trying to keep the son safe, why go in? Number three, why even have this situation, a hostage situation, over a minor traffic violation warrant?
Right.
This is a warrant that could or could not have been served. She could have been arrested at another time. She could have been arrested without incident.
She may have come into court on her own.
Yes.
And then the final thought Sean presented, which was very good, is that we're saying that would this have happened to a white person? And then he goes down through a list of white people who actually pointed guns directly at police officers, within some of them point blank, and lived to tell the story. Were arrested without incident.
And you have to remember, in Oregon, they just had that big standoff at the federal building and nobody got hurt. And it was a whole bunch of white men with guns and everybody walked away. And this is for a traffic violation.
It's your right to have a firearm.
It definitely is.
Especially in your home.
And not only that, from what I understand is from what her family has been posting, that she did have some, they were saying mental illness issues, but it's still not okay. And that they knew that. And they said the mother was on the phone with the counselor trying to get them to talk her down, and they wouldn't let that call go through for her to even be talked down. So then at this point, they knew what her mental situation was, and they still proceeded with what they did, you know.
That's terrible. And the part that really gets me is that is the back and forth I've seen between her and her kid, you know, her son, who he's not dead. He just was shot.
Yeah. He was just shot. He was shot in the arm and grazed by shrapnel in his cheek. So he has bandages here for a wound on his arm and bandage on his cheek from where shrapnel from the bullet that we've now, because at the time it wasn't certain that the bullet was from the police, because the conversation was that she had shot back.
Right.
And she had held her own son hostage, which the video this doesn't really show that.
It doesn't show a gun either.
There but, is a, there is one.
There, we're, yeah. I'm gonna go and give the police the benefit of the doubt that there was actually a gun. They've shown the gun. It seemed to be a shotgun of sorts.
Mm-hmm. She was loading.
Oh, yeah?
But still, she's inside of her house. And then from my understanding, they went and got the key. Like, when does the manager go get to bring the key to let people into your house? Like, that...
Well, it happens. If they presented the landlord with a proper warrant, then that would be the case.
But they didn't have a proper warrant.
They did have a proper warrant. Okay. They had a warrant for her arrest.
Okay.
But they had a warrant for her arrest. However, the warrant didn't warrant this course of action is what people are saying.
A warrant for your arrest is not the same thing as a warrant to search a premises.
True.
So they don't have a right to be in her house.
What happened was, when she presented the fact that she wasn't going to let them in and that she was armed, that gave them what they are saying is probable cause. All these things that I'm saying are just the information is presented to us.
Which I think is funny because she had, prior to this, been going around fighting police brutality.
Right, recording she's an actual activist.
Several different occasions. There's more video from when she had been pulled over prior to this.
I saw that in the car. She literally said, if you touch me, you're going to have to kill me.
Yes. And so it's just
when
one
she
of
was
those,
arrested.
In the car. I just saw her in the vehicle.
In a vehicle
but,
arrest.
Stop. And that's how you feel. You feel at this point because, and my cousin even said, he was like, I can't get arrested. If they put me in handcuffs, I don't know if I'm going to live. I'm definitely going to have to fight, like, and they're going to have to kill me. And that's where we're at. It's like, once I get arrested and my hands are behind my back, I don't know what's going to happen. So we have that fear now of even going to with the police, because simple traffic routines right now are getting us killed.
Right.
Getting it's in a not, police van not, are getting us killed.
It's not
so,
a comfortable concept to put your life in anyone's hands, let alone someone you do not know and who has right now begun a pattern and a history of abusing that.
Abusing the power. Abusing I got pulled power. Over this weekend. I was absolutely terrified. I'm like, well, do I start recording? And I know I hadn't done anything wrong. But at that point, I don't know who's coming to my car. It's 3 a.m. I'm pulled off on a side road. To my knowledge, I haven't done anything. I'm like, what just happened here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's nerve-wracking because you're trying to figure out what course of action am I going to take after this because you don't feel safe. So, yeah, it's like, I got my shotgun. Why are all you guys here? There's so many of you guys. I don't know.
It's not common for us to. This is the thing. We've seen videos of people waving guns and being wild on camera.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are shot. Other times they aren't. But we've seen it before. What we haven't seen is what appears to be a mild-mannered, calm, sane person reasoning it out with their child and in their last moments explaining to their child what's happening. Actually, she didn't even explain. She said, "What's happening?" And he said it. This child forever is. This is marked forever.
Exactly.
For him.
If they were trying to protect the concern here is if they were trying to protect the child because that seems to be the only person who was in any actual danger.
Right.
She's barricaded inside her own apartment. There's no one else inside that apartment. So who are they trying to protect?
You don't have to protect him for her. It's the mother.
So if they're protecting the child, then why open fire while the child is in the presence? And here's the worst part is that today a story came out where the son is recorded explaining that the police actually shot him when he was running away. And he says that in his own words. Mm-hmm. The aunt, Corinne's sister apparently, recorded the son explaining what happened and said, he says in his 5-year-old language that he was shot by the police when he was away and running from the situation. So now we'll see. There's an investigation, obviously. Hopefully the investigation will carry on to be federal and be unbiased as much as possible. But when the police are policing the police, who's really policing anyone?
That's very true. My thing is, these guys are supposed to be trained. I feel like every action just seems like it's by untrained people, or people just don't care and they're reckless. It's one or the other. And we know that you have to go through training. So you generally, I feel like, just don't give a damn because you don't feel like there's going to be any repercussions. Especially when you keep seeing people get away with stuff. It's like, oh, they keep getting away with it. And they're getting time vacation and they're getting paid leave and all this stuff. Well, I'm going to just be reckless too then now, because now it's the thing to do.
There's actually a very interesting video that came out recently of a boy, a 15-year-old getting shot after stealing a vehicle, getting shot in the back as he was fleeing.
Yes, I seen that.
And the police officer specifically says, now I'm going to have to go on desk duty for this kid.
Yes.
Knowing he shot him and thinking that nothing's going to come of it but desk duty. Even though he shot him in the back.
Five.
And there was actually no weapon in possession, which is against policing policy. Their own policy is if stolen property and there is no actual danger, then there should be no shots fired.
Right.
Because right now, shoot is like the answer to everything. It's like, and then, you know, some people are like, well, they shouldn't have been stealing a car.
Being shot, there's no tasers, no spike strips, there's nothing.
Dead is not, this is not appropriate.
Well, he was fleeing on foot, which makes it, he wasn't even in the car anymore. They had already covered the car.
I understand. I already said tasers. I'm just saying.
You don't feel like running. Pow, I got him.
Pistols, bullets, imminent, like death doesn't have to be, like they're the judge and the jury. They're God down the street now.
Yeah.
And that's not how it should be. What's the point of having the court?
Well, I had a friend of mine.
Let me tell you something. Perpetuate. They're perpetual, not us. We're not the shooter. So I had a friend of mine who's a law enforcement officer, and he's really torn with all this going on. He's a black male and he's a police officer. But he said that his fellow officers, men in blue, they say they would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. In other words, I'd rather kill and then go to court over it than potentially be in danger myself.
But there is danger. Let's be honest. Yes. Policing, the job of a police officer is not, it's not easy, it's not safe. And I think as a whole, we all, if not do, but we should respect and appreciate the lives that they give for us and the job that they do. However, bad people also become police officers, yes, and then they become bad policemen.
Not only that, but police officers take an oath to do that. They have a duty. Protect and serve.
But if you already have evil intentions going into it, because a lot of people on the force already have bad intentions when they join the force to abuse the power. So you have to understand that, too, and it's hard to control that as well. But I think where that comes in, I feel like what's worse than the shooter is everybody that observes the shooter and doesn't say anything and doesn't reprimand.
That blue wall of silence.
Yes. Okay, because if you're wrong, I will pull you aside and be like, yo, this is wrong, and we need to fix this.
Right.
Instead of just continually letting you do wrong, especially when it harms and kills and destroys families and communities and people. Like, it's ridiculous.
Right. But, I mean, if they take an oath, if it's cops and robbers, right, if it's good and it's bad, and we're supposed to assume that all the cops are the good, then that means the other people are the bad. The cops have taken an oath to handle business a certain way. The other side didn't take that oath. So I don't know why when people make their arguments about this, they act like the people who are being shot, the shootee, the victims, took some type of oath as well as to how they were supposed to behave.
Well, I'm going to give you a piece of information that's actually fairly interesting. In 2008, I believe, the Supreme Court actually settled a case in which the precedent is set is that the police officers or the police force are not held to a higher standard and that they do not have a responsibility to protect and serve. That is a true statement.
Just to say that the oath they're taking is trash?
Just to say that in situations like this, we will see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to see. And I also tell you, because of her background as an activist, a known activist, and already being a part of protests and being a part of peaceful protests up to this point, that I hope they get it right.
I hope so. I do want to add a piece of information that did just also come out. Is after the recording of her being pulled over and having no license plate, no driver's license, it's come to people's attentions that she possibly, we're not 100% sure, but very likely was part of a movement where they give up their citizenship. They're sovereign, right? Mm-hmm. And they say that I'm just a person. I no longer live by the codes.
I saw a video of that. And they actually had to leave that guy alone.
Code and conduct.
Sovereign nation.
Sovereign nation. Yeah. Well, they don't typically leave people alone. That's actually they don't leave not. That's anymore. Not a. That's actually a cause for more concern. But okay. So they're saying that a lot of these actions could have been avalanched by that beginning focal point, because in the past police officers have been brutal to sovereign nation people, culminating in a situation in the 80s in Philadelphia where they actually bombed a neighborhood.
Right.
Yes.
They bombed an entire... They dropped a bomb.
Yeah.
A bomb
yeah.
on a neighborhood.
That was supposedly yes. all sovereign.
Where it was yes. grown-ups and kids. Children.
Entire
and
community.
A couple of the children are the only people who survived. And it was a very sad situation. Once again, all these things are things that I hope you, the viewer, listener, go home and research yes. on your own. Don't just take our word for it. Please look this stuff up. I want you to get educated and acclimated to these situations on your own. But these are things that really happen. On the other side, I'm telling you right now, if something happened to me, I would call the police. Like, that's who I would call. There is no other recourse. So I don't want to paint this picture that all police officers are horrible people.
That's not even. Nobody's saying that.
A lot of people are saying that.
No.
A lot of people are saying
that. I haven't. Anybody that has some wits about them is not saying, you know, all police are bad. But they are saying...
The system itself is exactly. is more the situation that needs to be fixed.
They're not talking the 90s and NWA. We understand that there are good police on the force. We're just trying to figure out where they are and why do the bad eggs keep on being what's prominent in the news. Furthermore, the system is what needs to be restructured. There needs to be a complete gutting and retraining of officers so that death and imminent death is not the answer every time.
And it's a good thing that a lot of our viewers and listeners have emailed us, and we're actually going to have a panel discussion, a comprehensive discussion on race yes. coming up soon. So that's a good thing for us to talk about.
That's a good look. So we'll move into the second topic, which is still race. George Zimmerman, the man, if you remember, who killed Trayvon Martin, is back in the news again. This time he's in the news for being punched in the face
yeah.
at a Sanford area restaurant in Florida. For allegedly bragging about shooting Trayvon Martin.
So George Zimmerman gives a... Okay, so remember that Fresh Prince episode where Uncle Phil goes to court and Will and Carlton are also in court and they're yes. talking about the same situation as completely different stories?
Right.
This is almost what happened with George Zimmerman. So the story George Zimmerman gives is that he wasn't bragging about the Trayvon Martin situation, that he walked up to a table of fine... dining citizens and saw a gentleman who had a Confederate flag tattoo and said to the guy, I really like your tattoo. The guy turns to him and goes, hey, aren't you George Zimmerman? And he begins speaking on the Trayvon Martin case and speaking about how he regrets what happened. And another diner sees him and goes, why are you talking about this? And George is trying to explain what happened. He just punches him in the face and threatens to kill him with all his might. Now, fast forward to what the diners are saying what happened.
Uh-huh.
George Zimmerman comes over to Tattoo and goes, hey, to the gentleman eating and goes, hey, I really like your racist tattoo. And the guy goes, no, this is just Southern pride. George Zimmerman starts talking about Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. And this is independent people collaborating yes. this version of the story. He goes, I don't want to hear about that. You caused a lot of problems.
Right.
That was not a cool thing to do.
Yes.
George Zimmerman starts talking about it and bragging about it. And another patron goes over and says, you need to stop doing that. And he goes, or what? And he basically just hauls and punches him in the face, making it a little better, escaping on his motorcycle, making it a little better. It's a white patron.
Yeah.
And the people at the dining who were eating were also white. And they were like, this is wrong. We do not agree with
that. That's right. We got to hold ourselves accountable, people.
Yes.
Most of this new racism isn't happening in the presence of black people anyway until it flares up to so hot that then it makes the news, like this story and the last one. A lot of this racism is over dinner. It's not in my house.
Definitely not. I think...
it does happen in my house, so well, okay, I don't have anything to say. But I'm sorry, guys. Yeah.
I just... I think his account of the story is ridiculous for the fact that he just had the auctioning of his gun that killed Trayvon Martin and get money. Like, we know that he brags on this. He was selling
paintings.
We know that he tweets about it. We know that he's prideful about it. So nobody's going to listen to this whack story of him going, well, I was just saying that I like the tattoo. Like, that, you might as well just go, yeah, I said it, and I got punched in the face. And that's that.
And like, a lot of people feel like he's deserved to get punched in the face for a long time.
Yes.
Like, the fact that he's still alive is a testament to the self-control of black people in the United States.
Period.
Yes. Period. Period.
Because people know, at this point, everyone kind of knows where he is.
Yes.
He's easy. You can reach out and touch this dude. And people really haven't been as mean to him as you would think.
As he deserves. Possibly.
I mean,
that hasn't been an eye for an eye, that's for sure.
It's not been an eye for an eye. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he deserves. I'm not going to judge. But did I feel bad when I heard that he got punched in the face at a restaurant?
It made me smile with joy. And it makes me feel even better that it was a white person that did it. And that when he tried to have a racist conversation, everybody checked him like, nah, that's you. We're not even down for that.
That's,
you
know, beautiful.
Because it's absolutely
patrons,
beautiful.
White patrons. Yes. That's what makes it even. It wasn't, as far as we know, they weren't black patrons.
Yes.
And that's actually what makes it even more beautiful.
Yes. That's my favorite part about it. Because any black person would want to knock him out, that's understandable. But to see somebody else go, you're out of line, and do it just makes me happy.
Kanisha would have knocked him out.
I would have gave him Kanisha would have gave him one.
You guys don't even understand. She's Muhammad Ali. Kanisha.
There was a while where I was pretty, I was an issue had I seen him.
George Zimmerman?
Yeah, yes. Because as a comic, what, I don't have a recourse. What, are you going to fire me from my government job?
Yeah.
I pay me.
Ew.
I could literally be an activist, say what I want to say, and have there's nothing that someone could take from me to harm me for speaking. You know what I mean?
It
put me kind of on the edge. So I was very frustrated about Zimmerman.
I add something to this that of just course. Makes it even better? During the same time, everybody knows who Dylann Roof is, right?
Dylann Roof.
He also got assaulted while he was in jail. And I'm excited about that, too. I'm excited about this jail justice.
Dylann Roof, I'm not excited about jail justice. I'm not a fan of it. We do have a system, and anything outside of that system does cause anarchy. Dylann Roof, in case you were wondering, questioning, people might not remember the name, and I hope no one remembers this person's name.
I don't think that anything outside of the system causes anarchy. That was a good quote. But the system is broken right now.
The system is broken, but I don't think that we should start vigilante justice because the system's broken.
I know how bad it can get.
Jail has been
the number one
a place for extra consequences for quite some time.
And I'm saying I've never been a fan. I'm an advocate against prison raping because of that situation. To the point where now we just assume rapes in prison are a natural part of the system. They are not.
I hope they're people happening in certain portions of a prison. Yes. If somebody was to rape my child and then get arrested and go to jail, I'd be okay with somebody raping them for the rest of their life.
What if someone was arrested because they shoplifted from Walmart?
No, that's not jail justice, it's a slippery slope. But in jail,
because that's the guy that gets raped the most. It's not the hardest.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about. In jail, I have a extensive family background in this. Jail justice is, if you do something to kids, if you do something to women, they will handle that. They don't play that mess. And I feel like
there's still nobility involved.
Yes, it is. There is. Criminals are very noble.
That's why
I give you. I will 100% agree. Criminals in my experience are very noble. However, I will never condone. Thieves. Never condone rape. I will never. There's no situation where I can personally condone rape.
Don't. But if somebody rapes my baby and goes to jail, I hope they tear his ass up.
So back to him being assaulted, which
Dylann
is more
Roof,
minor.
The shooter, the church shooter,
yes.
Shot 9 people in cold blood inside a church,
and then went to Burger people. King right after with
and
the police
then was
department.
Taken to Burger King with the police. The
police fed him.
Yeah.
On the way back to jail.
The guy was a beautiful black king who assaulted him, but right after that they put up a GoFundMe page for him, and he has been bailed out on $100,000.
They put up
bond.
$10,000 on him.
Listen, they put up a lot. There was a lot of money, and they're saying they don't know where the cash came from, but they think it's from this because I posted it for people to donate. They was like, "Here is his books, and let's put all the money we can on it."
The assaults. Yes. The person who assaulted Dylann Roof?
Because assault, I mean, you got punched up a little bit. Like, you know what you've done. You know right. what I'm saying? So, and I feel like one of those, like, I'm not a fan of death penalty or anything like that. I feel like he should have to get punched up every time somebody sees him for the rest of his life. And that should be his consequence.
On the flip side, I am a fan of the death penalty.
I'm not at all.
And I think it should actually be used for people who commit crimes against women and children.
You know what? I'm about to commit a crime against you. That's
why. I feel like if you're a pedophile or a rapist, and I mean rapist, because there's a gray area in rape that people don't tend to talk yes. about, which is when a lot of kids go to jail because they're 18 and their significant other is 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 16. Statutory. And they're calling it statutory. Right. But even though both parties are still in high school and we know these stories.
Right. There's different degrees to rape, too.
Of course.
Like in my home state, Washington State, if... either party is under the influence of alcohol.
Yes,
that's third degree rape, even if they're willing.
It is very, very, very touchy.
It's a touchy situation.
But we're talking about heinous rape crimes, like the worst of the worst.
This is death my thing penalty. With the death. No, this is my thing with the death penalty.
You get off easy.
Now you're dead and you don't even know. No, you need to be alive and facing your consequences every single day. I feel like the parents should be able to come in and slap the hell out of you every single day for the rest of their life if they felt like it. Because once you're dead, then you've given it up. I've done all this. I've caused all these problems, and now I just get to escape and not live with the consequences. Because when you're dead, you don't know. But you don't know. When you're dead, you don't know you're dead.
They should rape them while they get lethal injection.
You know what? It's time to... Somebody's going to get us canceled.
They got to go out with a hot one in them.
I can never...
What is the next topic? Because you guys are out of line.
I can't condone raping with lethal injection in them. However, just for legal standpoint, if they rape them after they're already dead, that's merely a misdemeanor.
No, they got to experience...
First of all, you're going to get
they
worms.
They
got to
go out screaming.
No.
Okay, we're not talking about dead. If you're gonna rape kids viciously and heinously, we're not. I'm okay with it. I'm combining what you're saying. I do agree in the death penalty. I also agree in
jail justice
punishment, and I think it should be both. Let's combine it.
This is just absolutely ridiculous. What's next?
Listen, there's states that would heavily consider this.
I know Texas.
All right. So, story number three. Things got a little out of hand in Great Falls, Virginia this weekend when the driver of a 380 SL Mercedes-Benz accidentally reversed and landed on the hood of a $300,000 Ferrari 458 or 458 Specials as seen in this video.
Please watch. What would you do if that was your car? Look, hold on. She's trying to get off the car.
All those people watching could just pick it up.
They could.
But this is where in the age of let's just record it all.
Which can actually get you in a lot of trouble if this was actually a real crime.
I don't know anything about cars. This could be a
just know the
it's
one
a very
in the
expensive
back
car.
It's expensive.
And the one in the front is also an expensive car. That's an antique.
Yeah, but the one in the back was made by hand.
The one in the back is, yeah. It's,
but antique, I feel like, beats out hand.
No, that's an antique and hand.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody has insurance.
Insurance can't recoup the loss on, you know, when you get an insurance claim, even if they fix the car, it still goes on the report.
Yeah.
So now your car has lost value whether you want it to or not. That's what happened. And then, of course... the driver of the car, the owner of the Ferrari, was not very excited when he sees this. And he says to the woman, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. He doesn't even raise his voice. And people are already hitting to social media and just lambasting him why he...
Because when you're in shock, when you're genuinely in shock, you cannot even get upset. I've been in shock to where you're not even upset. You're just like...
Yeah, somebody rear-ended me and I was like, man, just have a good day, bro. I don't even want to deal with it. My question is, which one, if not both of those drivers, were Asian?
Okay, that's... Actually, neither one were Asian.
Neither
okay.
one?
Neither one were Asian. It was two...
Driving like that.
Lovely Caucasian gentleman who owned the car and then older young woman who was driving the car, the Mercedes.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I am from very close to Great Falls, Virginia. My family actually lives in Great Falls, Virginia right now. It's a wealthier part of Fairfax County.
Let's keep that image
Fairfax
up for a
County.
Second. I just want to point this out. They're outside of a building that has a sign on it that says Great Falls Eye Care. So this lady actually was blind driving like this. Furthermore, what does a Ferrari 458 Speciale, $300,000 car doing in that neighborhood?
Because that's actually, it's a wealthier neighborhood.
Is it? It's
a wealthier neighborhood in Fairfax, Virginia. And number two, they're actually at a car event that they have almost weekly, and the big one every month, where people bring out specialty cars and show them off. And this gentleman had brought his car out to show. And this is what he got for showing his car. Does this help the stereotype of women drivers? No. No, it does not.
A lot of people saw his car, though.
Now everybody's seen his car. Now he's famous. He's viral famous.
Famous. But when you were saying you were in shock, actually people were commenting to him on social media regarding the fact that he was speaking to a woman in that manner. They were actually mad at him for doing that. And mind you, he was very calm. I would have been in a rage. I think if somebody accidentally or purposely ruined
my $300,000 car, I would be livid.
I'm acting a fool.
Yeah, especially for this type of accident. This isn't like, we were coming to the sign and the light turned green, and like a driving. This is a humbug.
This was a park.
Just turn around and look. This is come on.
I have a hit on my Prius, and I'm outside screaming, "What the?" I mean, I acted a fool, and it's like just on your Prius, but it's brand new and it's mine, and it's yours. I acted a straight fool, and it was $18,000.
I tend to be a very calm person, so in a situation like this, I don't know what I would do. I also have never owned a. That's not true. I've never owned a $300,000 car that got into an accident. So while I've had a car that was worth substantial amount of money, I've never been in an accident in that car.
Right.
I don't know how I would have reacted. I might have been very calm because, like you said, insurance takes care of everything. However, this is a handmade car. They cannot fix this with the same, dexterity that it was handcrafted.
It's just kind of ruined when you ruin something and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're just like,
exactly. It's just an interesting story. It was just an interesting story. Do you let people borrow your car, Nate?
No. If it wasn't wrapped, yes. I had for quite some time, like my old Mazda 626, I used to let my frat brothers drive it and all that. But once I wrapped my car, I was like, I can't.
It has to be you
driving. Yeah, because I haven't, by the grace of God, I haven't dealt with the situation where if there's an accident to a portion of the vehicle that is wrapped, then what do I do? Because insurance has issues with assessing and, you know, with their actuarials, assessing the value of my vehicle with the wrap on it.
Because of the wrap. Because for those of you at home who don't know, Nate Jackson's car is very Nate Jackson.
Yes.
It has a picture of Nate Jackson.
Well, it says Nate Jackson.
Six pictures.
There's six pictures of his face.
And a business card holder.
Now, in my offense, I didn't ask for most of the stuff that's on the car. I was going to get a half wrap, and then the company who did it got excited because they got to do one for one person, and they normally were doing like fleet vehicles for cable companies and things like that. So they were like, "Oh, we're gonna show out," and so they did a lot.
They pimped your ride.
They did essentially. They added stuff to my graphic. They did my back window. They put a business card box on the back, and they wrote "Take a card." Like, they did a lot of that. And I was like, "Just put your logo on the back too, man." Thanks for all the extra stuff.
And they did extra, and it is very extra.
It is extra.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate someone who can
love themselves.
Exactly.
Oh, no, this wasn't about self-love. This is about marketing and having a tax write-off. This is the thing. When I was an undergrad in college at Florida Memorial College, we used to go to South Beach, and I saw a rapper who at one point became pretty well known, but I saw him when he wasn't.
Who?
Two, as a matter of fact. One was Ace Hood.
Ace Hood.
Hey.
And so he had three white vans, I think it was.
Ace Hood vehicles.
Well, it said Ace Hood Music.
Mm-hmm.
The first van said Ace, the second one said Hood, and the last one said Music. And they would ride up and down South Beach
and they
in
would,
that order.
All the time. Yeah. And they would park in front of clubs like that.
Nobody would cut them out.
Right. And Pitbull also had two, I think it was a truck or something wrapped too. And so now, and at the time, this, you know, we're talking 2001, 2002. Either one of them weren't very prominent. Like, Pitbull was doing regular shows just like at Coconut Grove. Now he's Mr. Worldwide.
He had one or two
platinum hits or whatever. But either way, at the time I told myself, if I ever come across the means, I'm going to wrap my vehicle. And then I did. So I'm proud of my little car. I'm glad I did it right.
What would you do if someone backed into your car? in that situation?
I mean, I'd be upset, but the front of my car isn't wrapped. What would upset me more is vandalizing. Like,
I wish they would come put the eyes, the X over the eyes. I am so concerned. And mustaches all on it.
I'm so concerned about going to, like, coming out of a movie theater or something. There's, like, mustaches and eye black. The tooth is... somebody took a Sharpie.
No one's ever done that? No one's ever vandalized your car?
No. I haven't had to deal with that.
Okay. That's cool. All right.
So
we'll go on to the next story.
Of course.
It looked like they were trying to pull up a picture of my car or something. I wasn't sure. So let's see. Story number four. This is a lot of reading. So here goes. After much controversy, hardships, and low ratings, this year's 2016 Olympics have finally begun in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Mm. Currently, the U.S. leads with 12 medals. We're winning, guys.
Yes,
Italy and China follow with 8, and Australia and South Korea with 6 and 5. No country has more than 3 gold medals. So there's a lot of silvers and bronze involved with these 12. First gold medalist was West Virginia University 19-year-old sophomore Virginia Thrasher in the women's air rifle event. Then
West Virginia, if we could pull up her picture, because I do want to show her. So she won a gold medal in the air rifle event, women's air rifle.
That's like the pellets?
She's only been doing it for 5 years. She's
really?
Only been shooting for 5 years. She went deer hunting with her father and then turned it into a lifestyle. To me, she not only did she deserve the gold medal,
right.
China came in second and third, but she also looks like a scary ex-girlfriend. Like, she's definitely a clinger stage 5 all the way. Like, she has this look like, I'll find you. Yeah. And then she really will. Exactly. I really feel like
she's not British.
She's definitely not British. She's
that
just
front
very
tooth right there.
Oh no.
That's a London tooth.
Oh my gosh. Virginia Thrasher.
Have you gone to the Bobby?
You don't want
I'm
to
going
talk
down
about
to the staff of the Bobby.
You know how far away she could shoot you from? And
I'm
you wouldn't
sitting
even
here.
Know.
That's why I'm not laughing.
Harry. She's got to shoot me from Rio? I think I'm safe.
You know,
I'll have to get her a medal made out of teeth.
You never know. She is on board. She
for the
is,
Bobby.
Yeah, she is.
Are you guys looking at this picture? That's her voice.
Harry Potter, have you seen the Bobby? With the Bobby?
I don't even know what the Bobby is. I think that's a cop.
It is.
I just thought it was a barbecue.
She does look,
it's cold out here, isn't it, bro?
She has a look to her. She's interesting. Olympics this year has been very... I mean...
She just looks like she's been focusing, guys, okay?
This is one of the sports that none of us would care about if it wasn't in the Olympics. Like, the only time we care about these sports of this nature is when the Olympics come around. Once every 4 years, all of a sudden, we care about air rifling and swimming and speed walking, which is an actual thing. And in the winter one, they have that. What's the thing when they do the ice? They
oh, I like that one.
Luge.
No, the
luge is the slide.
Yeah.
Now, that's the when they just scrape the ice. They scrape the
I
ice.
Know what you're talking about. I do not know what it's called.
Yeah, they just literally
this
scrape
the This is Black
ice.
Hollywood Live, where that's not a sport to us.
Yeah, most of this isn't sports to us. And the sports that are sports, like basketball, which we love.
Right.
I mean, if the USA loses like it did in 2004, that is just a shame. Like right now, the only concern is the team going to win by 30, 50, or 100?
That's always.
That's really the only.
And they're like, are our actual stars going? Because it seems like we're beating...
I don't even want to play. If I was in another country, I'm like, I'm not signing up for basketball. I'm not even going out there against the USA.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing
and
it.
They're beating people so bad that they're like putting our country's relations at stake. Like, they beat China so bad, like, we're going to have some issues with some of our trade embargo.
But not all the superstars are winning. Not all superstars are winning.
This next one?
Mm.
Yeah, the 2000 gold medal champion Venus Williams lost to Belgium's Kirsten Flipkens in a stunning upset in the first round. They also lost their couples match. Venus and Serena lost.
Wow.
For the first time ever. Everyone is blaming Venus because something happened. Something happened because there was a time Venus Williams was everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Serena came along and everyone
Little
really forgot around
and, yeah.
about
yeah.
Venus. And this picture really sums up what I feel like Venus feels on the inside. Like, she's just lost.
Done.
And I don't feel bad for her. She's done a lot. She's clearly a legend. A tennis legend, a sports athlete legend. She's a pioneer. I mean, just breaking the color barrier in a lot of ways.
Yes, queen.
But we're all Serena fans, and everyone's forgotten about Venus didn't even date Drake. I mean, you know, like...
Well, Serena has definitely had a lot more attention in the media and the press, but I was always down with Venus from the top, from the very beginning when they came out of Compton. I was like, yo, there's this chick, Venus.
Venus Williams.
And they're like, you know, she got a sister that's pretty bad at the sport, too.
And everyone has started, and they forgot about her. Like, there was a time Serena was the little sister, like Serena.
I forgot she even had a sister. I was like, oh.
And they say Venus Williams is the original.
Essentially, it'd be like Solange going platinum right now.
Exactly.
7 times in a row. Like, you guys remember when Beyonce was relevant?
But that's the thing.
Lemonade?
Venus has become the Solange.
Platinum 7 times.
Venus has become the Solange. Serena even has a twerk video out. She teaches you how to twerk.
Not only that, she was twerking in Beyonce's video. Come on now.
She was.
Right.
She was
and
in
she
there.
Twerked on the ESPYs.
And she's been on several acting things.
Yeah.
And like she's
strong.
You know,
and
there was...
her twerk is not like a sloppy, loose booty twerk either. It's not like one of those.
Oh,
who's
no.
Serena's?
Yeah, no. Her twerk is like, I'm about to twerk. Like, her twerk
That's
is
how she
serious.
Does everything, though. I feel like she's got that horse in her.
Horse?
She's a stallion. She's a stallion. And then the
rare
thing
breed.
With Venus is, you know, there was actually a major party in ESPN, ESPY's party, mm-hmm. and they didn't even let Venus in because they didn't know who she was.
Get out of here.
No, I made that up. But the fact that you
like,
can believe
not,
it for a second.
I didn't. Not for
it's,
one
it's,
second.
Oh, but I did
it.
Believe it. That's what makes it bad.
Yeah, it makes it bad.
You believe
for
it?
A second.
Yeah.
For a second.
Venus is outside? Serena's my sister, man. Let me in.
Yo, Serena's sister. Hey, and we was like, ain't
Solange
that
is outside?
Yeah. Can somebody go get my sister, please?
Yeah, that's how Ray J used to be.
Yeah, they're Brandy's brother. Now this is Serena's sister.
Right.
That's a thing.
Brandy's brother is doing well, I think.
But she lost.
Last time I saw Brandy was in a viral video.
Brandy? I never liked Brandy.
I did.
I did.
I never
Marisha
liked
was
no.
the truth.
I never. Something
you
about
you
Brandy.
Know the whole thing? Moesha, that was a
Brandy.
Great intro.
I used to like the show. I used to like the car she had,
down
the little
with you.
The VW thing.
Sitting up in my room.
I never liked her. I never liked Brandy. I just never liked Brandy. I never liked Moesha. There was just something about
Moesha.
Her that I don't like.
When you go back and watch Moesha, though, she had an attitude problem.
They had the most random segues on that show ever. Like, you'd be like, I hate you, Jody! And then it would cut to two people playing tennis.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be Venus and Serena. And then we'd come back and Q's like, so I'm going to start selling drugs. Like, it was just crazy. Yeah, very interesting segues. I hope you guys remember that. Go back and watch. Just type in old episode of Moesha in YouTube after you finish watching this. So, for more on the Olympics, French gymnast. I'm gonna. Yeah, there he is. French gymnast Samir Aït-Said.
That was actually excellent.
All right, Samir Aït-Said broke his leg during team preliminaries live on television after attempting to complete his vault. Making it worse is the fact. Let me read this differently. I needed a period right there. Making it worse is the fact that the emergency crew dropped the lower end of the stretcher, attempting to put him in the ambulance.
So when they were putting him in the ambulance, they accidentally dropped the stretcher where his leg was. And
they dropped it onto his leg?
No, they dropped him in the stretcher.
Yes.
With him laying on the stretcher,
right.
They dropped the low end and hit the ground, and he was in even more excruciating pain.
So it was just like, boop,
because if you saw the video, and this was the part of the video we were going to play, but we, as a group, decided not to.
No, let's play it, and we'll just look away. You guys got to see it once if you haven't seen it.
No,
it's not even a
gruesome.
Break. You guys think somebody broke their leg. No, but it like
snapped.
It snapped
this
and
is,
turned
I mean, he
all
got a new
around.
Wrist in the middle of his leg. But here's the thing. If you were watching the NCAA game.
Finals.
Yeah, the final. I think Louisville had a player that snapped his leg.
Leg. Oh.
Paul George.
No, do you remember, what was this?
Was that Paul George?
3 years ago, the MMA fighter, when he went to kick him,
and it just became
him,
a...
Right?
And, well, there was another NCAA player that broke his leg, and he left the school he was at to play at another school. I forget his name as well, but the point is, it's disgusting to watch.
Not only that, though, he took it like a G, okay? He didn't scream, he just hit you with one of these and was leaning back like, I can't believe this just happened. Because you don't expect those
the
type
French,
of major...
The French guy?
Yes, like, right
I mean, it looked like he was hurt. He was rolling on his
really
back.
He was really hurt, but no, he just had this. He was just...
I just didn't know why he was holding the good part of his leg still and letting it dangle. Like, just set your leg on the ground.
It probably cause because it hurt.
It,
I mean,
it had to hurt terribly.
This is excruciating pain of umpteenth degree. I mean, snapping a bone and ligaments and
several
whatever
actually
else.
To
oh
break your
gosh.
Leg.
To
if it's not
it
your upper thigh, that would just be your femur. But to break your leg at the bottom is two bones.
And you got to understand that you feel that type of pain, but when it's dangling like that too, it's sometimes pain is so great, like it just. Transcends your body, you feel it and you don't.
It
I detached my ligaments in my knee, and at first, like it just you can't even comprehend the pain. You're just like, how am I in this much pain? And it took me, I didn't even start crying at first. I was just trying to process the amount of pain that I was in, because it doesn't make any amount of sense. And then when I stepped down and it crunched even more, that's when I was, but you can't, it's hard to process that amount of pain. And you're trying to think to yourself, what am I going to do? Like, what is next for me?
And you were on a cruise when that happened.
Yes. Well, I was twerking in Mexico on stage, holding a white girl in the air, and it snapped. Wait, is my insurance watching? I caught this older lady. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, your insurance is watching.
We do have a lot of viewers. I wouldn't
We won't
doubt.
Put out a press release or anything like that, but yeah.
That's what they told me to say. Yeah, guys, it's on the paper.
But
it really, when it happens, you really are just like, I'm dead. You want to die. You're just like, I'm dead, because it's so much
What's
pain.
The most pain you've ever felt? Physical pain.
I deal with pain very well. So
what's the most that you felt, though?
There's nothing that I felt outside of the norm. The most that I can even think of feeling is I was at the dentist one time, and he used the numbing thing, and it didn't numb. Mm. And he was drilling, and I was like, I can feel this, but I dealt with it the entirety of the time.
You need to tell them, I have to have triple the amount. You literally have to shoot me 17 times. And most people have, like, this one nerve, but a lot of people have two that split, and then they have to numb both of them if you have to go back. You need to tell
them. It's never happened again. And also, there is a thing where black people have stronger gums and teeth, which is why the orthodontists have to know, possibly, but which is why orthodontists, specialists, sometimes have to come in if you do a root canal or if you need to have your wisdom teeth removed.
Right.
It needs to be somewhat strong because the roots are very strong. However, that's possibly the most amount of pain I've ever felt. But just on Saturday playing basketball, I dislocated my big toe. Someone fouled me. On game point, it went in. You know who you are, Jordan. And then...
you kicked something?
No. He came to foul me for no reason. I had a free layup, and he fouled me, and my toe was dislocated. And I went to the hospital and had it pulled out. They had to give it shots. Pulled all the way out. I mean, it was bad. And I was back playing basketball the next day against doctor's orders, I will say that. But I didn't have insurance concerns, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where were you hooping at?
At West Hollywood Park.
Okay.
I play indoors and outdoors. So I play a lot of basketball. In fact, A, I get injured a lot playing basketball.
Right.
But B, it's the sport that you get injured the most in.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
In this country, it is. It has the most injuries. So
basketball.
And basketball. So I've had, like, just within this last 6 months.
I thought football was so much worse.
I think their injuries are
everybody on the
worse.
Field is hurt.
Yes.
Injuries could be worse, like, maybe at one time, but the most
just
amount
know
of injuries.
Just know that if your toe was dislocated, you'd still be in there playing.
Playing football.
Oh my gosh. And I date a lot of football players.
Turf
and
toe
at night,
is a thing.
It is
all
a thing.
Their body pops throughout the night for the rest of their life. It's just the weirdest. They're just so injured.
Injured all the time.
I have football injuries now.
Yes.
That's craziness.
Yeah. So what was the most painful thing you felt? Was it the
knee? Oh, yes. Definitely having my ligaments detached.
Well, for me, which, and you've experienced this too, so clearly that is worse pain. But as a member of my fraternity, it's a thing to... a brand to experience getting branded. And so I have a couple brands, and that was painful.
You know what's crazy? I got both my brands, and it wasn't as bad as... I feel like my tattoos hurt more than my brands did.
Oh, yeah. Well, then they must not have got you good.
No, they got me good. But my thighs are meaty, and it was on the thigh, so...
Yeah, I got hit right on some shoulder muscle and some bicep gristle.
Okay, yeah. So my thighs are, like, juicy.
And it's being branded is a part of a fraternal sorority thing.
Absolutely.
Especially in
Well, I know why we get it. I can't speak for every other organization, but I know there's, like, a real actual meaning for Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Is there, like, meaning for you, or are you just like, let's just party?
There's a lot of meaning for us, so thank you. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Z-Phi.
There you go. Yeah, how about you, the Masons?
Psy.
I went to George Mason University.
Oh, okay.
It's a good university.
Do you freeze up? I'll freeze up. Let's move on to the other story.
I did. I went to George Mason University for undergrad and my master's.
North Points, South Points, anyway. So, we'll move to the next story. The next story is Instagram versus Snapchat. The war is continuing with the brand new Instagram stories, which is basically Snapchat.
They just stole Snapchat and made it better.
Is it better, though?
That's what the tech companies are saying. The tech people, the tech evaluators are all saying that the Instagram version of Snapchat is better and that Snapchat needs to hurry up and improve Snapchat or they will fail.
What is better?
I was going to say, because Snapchat, fake Snapchat tweet, I don't know, because now people tweet, they say, y'all don't have no dog filters. And, you know, women love dog filters. So yeah, until Instagram gets the dog filters, ain't nobody leaving.
They will be getting the dog filters soon. Trust me.
Here's the thing.
They steal things.
Yeah,
okay?
But I don't think Snapchat itself, like the stories, is something that can be trademarked or licensed. But I think that facial recognition and geolocation software is. So I think that what Instagram is doing is trying to circumvent those things that actually have the, you know.
Well, I'm all about the
Snapchat legal ramifications. They own their specialty filters, but right. They don't own the technology that makes those filters. So I'm sure.
I mean, unless they bought the company that came up with it.
Well, yeah. Other companies have come up with facial recognition. Facial recognition. And here's one of the things that I have a conspiracy theory about, is that those Snapchat filters are really just us giving
right.
our yeah. facial recognition over. Like, this is that. Because the more I read into these companies, people need to know that it's a known fact. If you read your Google disclaimer, they specifically tell you, you do not own your Gmail. You do not. You don't own your Facebook. You don't own your Snapchat. They own it. In fact, when you have an iPhone, you don't own your iPhone.
Oh, that's why I said don't do the fingerprints.
Yeah, you don't own your iPhone. Apple owns your iPhone. Yeah. You are actually paying a lot of money and then monthly to rent your iPhone from Apple. Mm. So it's their, basically, the it's content their property. Is theirs. It's theirs. And so when they put things like this, I have a theory is all going into a database, which they have sold in the past to governments. So if I had charged with murder, they could go and get my Google searches and see, and they have done this in the past where they look up your Google searches, and if you had looked up how to poison your wife with bleach, then that will come up on the search, and they will use that against you in a court of law. Yeah. They have done this before. I watch a lot of First 48.
I see.
I'm just saying. So with this facial recognition software, I think we're just volunteering yes. our own bodies into this database. I mean.
Yeah, because they don't have to search for you anymore. Like, all the work they used to have to do, they can do everything online.
Everything.
That's why it kills me when people put all their money and their drugs and their prescriptions. And I'm like,
that's Big Brother. And Facebook, the questions on the Facebook description, you're like, okay, you guys don't need to know that.
Yes.
Rick Ross is the worst advisor of all that. I'm selling dope off my iPhone. That's just the best way to go straight to jail.
Yeah.
Don't pass go.
On my iPhone. Yeah.
Like, because people really take these things in account. And
I think
he
literally is like, there's dope sitting on top of his iPhone, and he takes it off of the iPhone and hands it to somebody.
No, I think he was texting people.
Dope?
Yeah, I've got that dope. You know, people go around and have, remember the snowman shirts?
Yeah.
And then drug dealers have the snowman shirt?
Yeah, so you have to know. But people put that up. I see people tweet, yo, who got some weed? And somebody else had tweeted before, like, yo, I'm trying to sell a zip or something. And the police department had tweeted them back and was like, well, let us know your location.
Right.
Funny. I mean, it's true. They use rappers' lyrics against them in courts of law. So all this stuff is stuff that they have to use against
them.
But back to the Snapchat feature on Instagram, basically. They're saying that it's better. That it's taken all the Snapchat positives and none of the negatives. And that the filters Instagram has stated, or has at least alluded, that they're coming soon.
Yeah.
They're coming extremely soon.
The only thing that I don't know... So is the messaging, it's still going to be the DM messaging though, right? Because this is the thing that I hate about Snapchat, is when I get drunk and I start Snapchatting people messages, I don't know what I said the next day because you can't retrieve it. Because
you can't retrieve
it. I just need that part to be gone because I get myself
Instagram, that part. Instagram, the videos disappear in 24 hours, but the messages you send are regular Instagram DMs that stay forever.
Okay, good, because whew.
Yeah. So
and even though the Snapchats disappear from your phone, Snapchat keeps a nice recording of everything.
Well,
Snapchat
so here's what I want to know. Time with me.
Yes or no in regards to, do you have a problem with Instagram eating Snapchat?
Yes.
You have a problem with
I do, because I think that's what's going on right now. That's the problem I have with designer and future. Like, I feel like your original ideas, it doesn't matter anymore. Somebody can go, you know what, that's mine, and everybody will give them props. We have a big problem with this, I feel like, in stand-up, because a lot of the people that do sketch comedy will take our jokes and turn them into sketches and be like, oh, that's mine. And because everybody's seen them online, you go to do your joke, and they think that you took something that was already yours.
Right.
So I have a big problem with everybody supporting people stealing people's ideas and just being fine with it and not having a problem with that.
We do need better intellectual property laws.
What do you think, Toronto? Are you okay with it?
Am I okay with it in the tech space? I think that competition is healthy and necessary for capitalists in the process. Do right. I think that Instagram and Facebook has a history of just basically taking ideas and making them their own? Yes.
They tried to buy Snapchat at first.
They did.
Didn't. Got turned down and then just consumed
them. They tried to buy Snapchat. They tried to buy Twitter.
I think that's not healthy competition. I think competition is a race against, you know, a race against each other to get to develop the best technology and to be unique and all that. And then when people are just saying, we'll let you do that, we'll just steal it once you have
yes.
it. Yes. That
do you really like your iPhone? Process. Do you like your iPhone? Are you an iPhone avid user?
I am.
Okay. Well, a lot of that technology came from Android, and they have sued each other. They have sued each other right. many times back and forth, and each one is one separate things that all of us as consumers actually get to benefit from. So, I don't know.
Well, we shall see, and it will unfold. That is our episode as far as stories go today. I want everybody to show where you can catch them, find them at. Teron, where can they find you?
Well, I'm at the Laugh Factory every Monday and Thursday at 10. Please email me, contact me on social media at I am Teron. If you want guest list, I'll make sure to put you on the guest list. Also, the Fox show, So Me, which is nationwide on Fox.
Hey, I am Kenesha Buss. You can catch me on Sirius XM or over at All Def Digital, ADD. And we do have a new movie coming out called Major Deal, so please check it out.
Yeah, and you can check me out on Thursday nights on MTV, Wildin' Out Season 8, or NateJacksonComedy.com. If you have Instagram or InstaSnap, follow me at Mr. Nate Jackson. That's Headlines us. With Headliners. Peace.
So that's what we do now?
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipia, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.